Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 464. If you'd like to have a copy of it, Sharon will tell you how at the end of the program. Please specify whether you want a CD or an audio tape. It's absolutely free of charge, including the postage and handling. We have a strong message today, very strong message. Make sure you don't turn your dial. We have scriptures, we've got letters, we've got songs, and we've got the Holy Spirit. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. We're full of the salt of the scriptures. We've got plenty of savor here, and we've got plenty of light to shine on you, your dark soul, those of you that are not yet saved, to show you the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So that completely eradicates any other way to the kingdom of heaven. There is no other way. There are no other way. Anyone that attempts to get into the kingdom of heaven, then by me, Jesus said, is a thief, is like a thief and a robber, and no thief or robber shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Those of you that are planning to do your work in the dark, because the Bible states, and you know it's absolutely proven that 90% of crimes are all done in the dark, because the darkness, people do their work in the dark. That's why we need to shed the light of the Word of God on the world so that people can see the dark and evil things that are being done in the world so they can flee them. In the name of Jesus. But right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask the Lord to anoint this service, to take it over, to let it be only that which He wants to bring forth in this program. In Jesus' name, Lord God, we ask that everything that is done in this program, don't let it be from me, or let it not be the letter of the Word, but the Spirit of the Word. Lord, that souls will be saved, and that Satan will be resisted, and let the angel of the Lord chase him and all of his imps in the name of Jesus, and that the church be strengthened. Father, in the name of Jesus, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right. Now, up on the mic is Fag Springman to sing a song that I really love. It's called We Have to Ride On, and this is what the Bible tells us to do. In Ephesians chapter 6, it tells us to put on the whole armor of God. And many years ago, I've stated that there is no armor on the backside of us. We are only to resist and never flee. Never flee. Never back off. But to resist Satan, then he'll do the fleeing. Amen?
Amen.
So we have to ride on like King Jesus. Ride on, King Jesus.
Ride on, King Jesus. No man shall
No man can hinder you if the light of your body is your eye. The Bible, Jesus said, the light of the body is the eye. Because we have a body, but we have eyes. And this is shows us what's going on outside of us. God put my late wife Susie and myself together because he knew that we were going to do a great and mighty work for the Lord. And the Lord showed me a vision of us going up a mountain. It was a difficult mountain. At first it was just easy to go up the mountain, and the Lord has given me a revelation as to why there was darkness in that mountain. I was walking, the sky was very blue and clear, and everything is very easy to see. It was the most beautiful day, and I was walking very powerfully up this mountain. And then the vision widened, and I saw my wife, my late wife, Susie, walking very slowly up the mountain. So I turned around in the vision, I was very glad I did, and I put my arm around her, and I started pushing her up the mountain and helping her up because she had cancer. And before that, the Lord told me to listen to your wife, because she had been in the ministry for 25 years before me, and so she was. I listened to her, and she was showing me all the ins and outs, and she was showing me the fallacies of all the different churches and the big organizations that kept wanting to use my testimony, because I'm Jewish, and it was like a very big thing back in those days for a Jew to be saved. And she says, okay, they wanted me to join, have a chapter in the Full Gospel Christian Businessmen Association. And she told me not to do it. And she told me, when we go to a Baptist church, don't give your testimony here because these people do not believe in the supernatural. Even though we're living in these last days, they don't believe in the supernatural, that God has left us on this earth empty-handed and empty-spirited, without light, without salt. And that's why they don't have any salt in them at all. And then they don't have light. They don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They just believe that once you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, that you you have the Holy Spirit in you. This is true, but the Bible clearly shows that after you're saved, that there's another experience that we have in the Lord, and that's called the power thing that happens, where you shall have power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And so I've done a message today in regard to having more power in your life. But so I learned all these things from Susie, but and we had the biggest work going. I mean, it was just, people were amazed at the work that we had. There's millions of people being saved, thousands upon thousands of hippies, people that were on drugs, came off of drugs, and This is why I'm bringing a message today in regard to the empowering of the Holy Spirit. Many people are saved, but they think that because of the fact that they are saved, that they rely on their faith that they're saved, so that they don't have to feel they don't need any empowering of the Holy Spirit in them. The Lord wants to flood our spirit, the new spirit that we have with Him in it. He wants to do an operation on us to make a larger incision in our spirits so that there will be a greater infilling of the Holy Spirit in us, of the Word of God. But at any rate, the Lord says that we are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its savor, then it's good for nothing but to be trodden underfoot. And then in Matthew 6:22 and 23, it says, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye be single, in other words, if your mind, your eye is just on looking for light, and shows that the Bible shows that light is more powerful than darkness. And the only way that we can stay out of darkness is to read the Word of God and to study the Word of God and to keep our eyes singly on the Word of God. If you're, your eye is single, your whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, in other words, if you don't continue on in the Word of God, your whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Well, there came a time when we were winning so many souls, and they were hippies and just people that were living, sleeping on toilet seats and gas stations. They were sleeping under park benches and on park benches and in the bus depots and things like that. And we brought them to the light. And then we brought them to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They were really saved. And then God started blessing us and giving us some money, enough money to feed everybody very well and to put people up fairly well, because the department, the building commissioner in Saugus New Hall, Valencia, he would not give us permits to build showers for them because they said that we had black people, and they used N-word on it. We had N's and also Latinos, and of course they knew that Sue and I were Jewish. And so they started putting the pressure on us, and they still continue doing that until today. And they're even doing it in Arkansas by telling Buster that he can no longer go to our church unless he wants to go to prison for 25 years. They did the same thing with Dr. Greenspan, who was here. They frightened him. They sent about 100 different people, these law enforcement, quote, law enforcement agencies, unquote, into Dr. Greenspan's office and started scaring him to death, because he really was helping out our church. And so they harassed him so much that he committed suicide. This is your government, folks, which is really not the American government. It's the government from Rome. This is the things they do. They didn't want him to go to our church any longer, and he wanted to because he received salvation from us. But if you stop walking in the light, if you stop walking in the light of God, well, then, of course, your eye is going to turn dark. And what it did is he got so despondent that he actually went into a motel room and put his an IV in his arm that had poison, that had drugs in it so much that it actually killed him. And there's a lot of people in the Texarkana area that know that to be the truth. He left a suicide note for his wife, his son, and for other people such as Dr. Naples and myself. And he came to me and told me, "I can't go to prison, Tony, I can't." I said, "Don't worry, they won't send you to prison because I'll stand up for you. Dr. Naples will stand up for you." He said, "They're after Dr. Naples too." Dr. Naples had to sign. There was nothing that he was doing wrong, and he had to sign over $2 million of his money to them. And it just keeps going. Now that they stole half the goods in Buster's furniture store and told him all this can go away if you just stop going to Tony's church. Okay, so ye are the salt of the earth, you people that are Christians. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? In other words, Susie got sick and tired of the people that were ripping the church off, because they would come to the church, they'd get saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, and they begin eating some food. They had food, and they had a place to sleep, and they had, we led them to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they knew the things of eternity, and yet they just got themselves new suits from our store in Nashville, new pairs of boots, many pairs of them, and some of them would actually throw them in a garbage can because they eventually didn't like the color of them. And they just made Susie so despondent that she stopped. She said, "I don't want to win any more souls. I don't want to have any more of this abuse from these people. We get their glasses. We, and some of them that need teeth, we get new sets of teeth. That's all they are, is money grabbers. They just have been neglected all their life. They come here and get their glasses and their teeth and their bodies operated on. Some of them had hernias. Some of them had hepatitis. And so we sent them to doctors and everything. And then when they were all repaired, they says, now can we have a ticket to go where we want to go? And so, or else they'd start smoking pot again, or taking pills, or sniffing gas or glue or something like that on the streets when we didn't see them, or we didn't see them. And so Susie says, that's it, I'm not going to do it. I said, Susie, you're going to die, because ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? In other words, it doesn't take a whole lot of salt to salt something. It just takes a little pinch, and that will salt whatever it is that you're eating. But if it's the salt is like sand, there's no saltiness in it any longer, or savor, it is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of man. Well, I told her, Sue, if you stop going out witnessing and testifying, I said, just let me go out and you let the troops keep going. I can't do it, Tony. I'm sick. I've got cancer. I said, you've got the cancer because you're not going to do what the Lord said. And here she was, the greatest thing I'd ever known in my life. I've never seen anything like her before. Here she had been saved 25 years before me, and so she went another 17 years. That's like 42 years, isn't it? That's what it adds up to. I've been saved now 43 years, and I said, you'll die. She said, I can't help it. I'm not going to be suckered in by these people. We're killing ourselves over here, and now I've got cancer. Again, Susie, the cancer is because you are not wanting to go and let me do it. No, you know, you have to stay and take care of me. And I says, so the Lord said, listen to her. And so what I should have done is just listen to her and see paid attention to the wrong things that she was saying and wanting to do. She says, I want to have fun. I want to have fun. I want to go out with some of our Christian friends to restaurants and have fun and laugh. I'm tired of this. That was like 42 years. And so a little over 25 years ago, she died, April 8th, 82. April, May, June, July, August, September, October. That's 25 and a half years ago she's been gone. So ye are the light of the world. But if you're not going to be a light, well, then what in the world would God want to keep you around for? To have fun, fun, fun? Is that what you think that God will do with you? Now, here was God's baby. I mean, every time she spoke to the Lord, actually the hills would shake. One time she was donated these diamond rings to sell for the ministry, and she found out that they were stolen, and so she went out and threw them into a hill over in Hollywood, and the hills actually shook. It was a small quake there. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Okay, so you're not going to bring the gospel out. You're hiding that light. You're hiding it, and you're dying. I don't care, Tony. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a basket. Well, you want to be a basket? So you want to hide your light in the basket? I can't help it. They don't put it under a bushel basket, but on a candlestick. And it gives light unto all that are in the house. And it gives light to everyone that's in the city and everyone that's in the world. And so she wasn't going to do it. So this vision showed us going up this difficult mountain, and I was just climbing it really good, and I went and got her. And I stayed with her, and there was a man named David Rolnick that was a good friend of mine. He's Jewish, and he didn't want to receive the Lord. And so his wife had committed adultery on him, so he tried to kill her one night. He had her, he stripped her nude in his apartment and cuffed her, handcuffed her, and picked up the bed. And when the phone was ringing, and put her hand, the actual leg of the bed in between her arms so that she couldn't get out. And then the phone was ringing and ringing because Sue said, invite David Rolnick to the service today. And the phone kept ringing and ringing and ringing, and I was going to hang up, and the Lord told, don't hang up. And so I just kept letting it ring. And he came to the phone eventually, and he was panting, breathing hard. And I says, hi, you want to come in to church? And he says, not today. Well, during the time he came to the phone, she put her back up against the bed and lifted it up off the floor and got her hands out and ran outside in the nude, right out into the streets, and a truck driver was coming, and he put a blanket around her and put her in the truck and took her someplace, wherever it was, and got her clothes. So later that day, he was beating her to death with one of these giraffes. It was like on a stick for a kid, like a stick horse or a stick giraffe. And he would bang her on the head and say, you commit adultery on me, is that it? And he'd whack her, went right across the head. He was unsaved. He didn't have any light in him. All he had was darkness. And not only that, I mean, you know, in the Old Testament and in the New, it says, you know, if a woman does something like that, in the New Testament it says, divorce her, put her out. Don't have any mercy on her at all. The Old Testament says, put them to death. And even Jesus said, yeah, put her to death. That's right. The Bible does say stone them to death. So she put a note on one of our buses. We had these red, white, and blue buses and cars and trucks and everything in the area. And she put a note on there and said, Tony, you saved my life today by calling David, because he was beating me to death. And I escaped, and I need to talk to you. So we called My wife Sue called her over and said, "What went on? What was going on? Why was he doing that?" She said, "Well, there was this black guy that I had sex with, and he didn't like it, and so he was railing, shaking his fist at this black guy over by the city college on Vermont, and the black guy picked him up and threw him in front of a Metropolitan bus. And so he, this was a while ago, he went to the hospital. He had all kinds of broken bones, and he got well, and then he caught me and took me into his apartment and did that to me." And Susie said, "You scum, you weasel, and you think you're righteous?" She says, "Get out of here." And she kicked her out because she wasn't going to, she preached the gospel to her before and she didn't want to receive it. She liked to commit fornication and adultery. And so she, according to, you know, you could call her a scumbag or chaff or a goat or a sow, a viper. But she's all of those things, and so that's why. Susie told me, "Call up David and ask him if there's anything that he'd like to talk to me about, talk to you about." And so I said, "Okay." So I got him on the phone and said, "Look, anything would like me to talk to you about?" And he says, "What do you mean?" I says, "Well, your wife left a note on the car saying you were trying to kill her." He says, "Can I come over?" And I said, "Yeah." So he came over, and we witnessed to him. And Susie said, "Come on, let's pray." And so we started praying. And while we were, silently I prayed to the Lord, "Lord, if you want us to continue witnessing and testifying, if you want us to do that, then show David you. You reveal unto him your sins." I saw him! Right when I was, that wasn't even at the end of the prayer. And Susie said, "You saw who?" He says, "I saw Jesus." She said, "Did he say anything to you?" And he says, "Yes." And she said, "What?" He says, "Come unto me, all you that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your soul." And he said it to me in Hebrew. He was Jewish. And incidentally, there was a young man in our church that just went home because his dad is dying. He's Jewish. He wouldn't receive the gospel. And so I instructed him to tell his dad, "If a Jew, tell your dad, if a Jew asks the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, if Jesus is really the truth, and you show it to me, I'll believe." So he showed it to him. He did that prayer with Mark, and all of a sudden he said, "The Lord appeared to me and told me that I'm going to die within a week." That just happened yesterday. What is today? October the what?
14th.
The 14th. So this happened either the 12th or the 13th of October 2007. Isn't that fantastic?
Amen.
Because that man would not accept Jesus, and now he saw him. He actually appeared before him, and he told him, "You're going to die within a week." And he was dying anyway, but what a nice revelation to know that this man just received the Lord Jesus Christ and received the prophecy from him that he's going to die within a week. That's something, isn't it?
Amen.
But anyway, Susie said, "What he's saying?" He says, "He said, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest," in Hebrew. And so Susie said, "You know it's the truth now, David. I accept the Lord." He said, "I just can't. I won't. I'm going to remain a Jew. I was born a Jew, and I'm going to stay a Jew. I'll die a Jew." Well, she says, "You're going to die and go to hell." And so after David had gone, Sue and I are walking down the streets going towards Hollywood Boulevard, and I said, "Sue, same thing's going to happen to you. You're going to die if you don't start witnessing and testifying, because we can't hide the light that we have under a bushel, okay? Under a basket. I'm not going to do it, Susie. Let me witness to him." She said, "Well, they'll come in with interviews and everything like that, and you're too brutally honest to do interviews." She said, so, no, don't. And so I just started taking care of her. Well, this was the first part of the vision was light and everything. And when I went down there and I started helping her up the hill, she can't go up the hill because her eye has become full of darkness. She does it. She's hiding the light of the world, which is Jesus, which is the testimony of Jesus. She's hiding it. And I said, she's going to die. And she did on April 8th, 1982. And incidentally, David Roenick, the one that said that the Lord appeared to, he died. I don't hear from him anymore. He's gone. I don't hear from Susie anymore. She's gone. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. What does that mean? That means you have to continue serving the Lord, witnessing and testifying, and you can't get weary in well-doing. That's why you need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And I was just a young Christian at the time. That's 25 years ago, and I've been saved 43 years, but I mainly relied on Susie's doing the preaching and all that, and I thought that I'd been called to support the church because of my tremendous money-making ability. I just got a call from Gary Paxton yesterday, and he said, is this the world's most fantastic salesperson or a promotional person or a person that knows how to do all these things? He had somebody that he wanted to introduce me to. Yes, I am. And I didn't. So the light of the body is the eye. If, therefore, the eye be single, in other words, if we just want to singly went on and served the Lord. So when Susie was dying, I started distributing literature anyway. I wasn't going to listen to her anymore. And we started distributing literature by the millions. Thy whole body shall be full of light. But if your eye be evil, in other words, you don't want to see things God's way, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? So you're the salt. You're the salt of the world. But if the salt has lost its savor or flavor, wherewith shall it be salted? What good is it to shake something into the world that's sand? It doesn't do anybody any good, does it? It has to be light. And so it is therefore good for nothing. If you say, I'm a Christian, and you say, well, I have faith, and so therefore I don't need any infilling. So the salt then, the salt is no, it's good for nothing but to be cast out and to be hidden and trodden underfoot of man. So the Christians at Corinth were in this same state. They were of the flesh. They were carnal. In exhorting them to depart from their carnal state, in other words, to let's start preaching the gospel. Amen?
Amen.
And not only preaching the gospel, but because of the fact that we are saved, doesn't mean we've been converted, but that doesn't mean that we're disciples yet. You have to keep going. So here, after Sue, here I am walking together with somebody that disbelieves all of a sudden, and here the darkness started coming down the hill. Before that, I just wanted to take the world by the tail and swing it around. And so I warned Susie and told her she was going to die. And I'm warning all you in the world out there and all you Christians that think that you can just sit by and preach a part of the gospel and not the rest of it. I'm telling you that you're in your carnal state just like those that were the Christians, supposed to be Christians, and they were Christians at Corinth. So in exhorting them to depart from their carnal state, the Apostle Paul repeatedly reminded them of the fact that they were God's temple. Well, if you're the temple of God, God wants to guide your temple wherever he wants to guide you. You can't do what you want to do. There's no private ministry. You will go where God tells you to go, where Christ tells you to go. The entire Godhead is living inside your spirit. And the Lord wants to be the guide of your mortal, dying, stinking flesh. Do you understand?
Yes.
Okay. So Paul repeatedly reminded them of the fact that they were God's temple and that the Holy Spirit lived in them. Knowing he, God, the fullness of God indwells in them, it should help Christians to overcome their carnal, their fleshy condition. They must know and understand perfectly by faith that God abides, lives in them. Christians must not be content merely with knowing mentally the doctrine of the Holy Spirit as given in the Bible. They can't just say, well, we're the light of the world, we're going to let God's light, I'm a little light. The Lord doesn't want you to be a little light. If you are the salt of the earth, then you have enough salt in you to salt everyone that you come in contact with. They will receive the light that is in you, if you are the light. Or if you stop being the light, well, then you're good for nothing to be but to be trodden underfoot. They also need to know the Lord. God, experimentally, you have to experiment. You have to know. You have to, Lord, I'm going to do an experiment here. When people come before me, do I talk to you and ask, should I witness to this person or what? Because we're not to witness to everybody. We must experiment to know God. We must experiment. We must know. We must have be flooded with the Holy Spirit. They will then commit themselves without reservation to God for renewal and submit every part of their soul and body to God's correction. Because I'm talking about the soul and the body, but the spirit has to be so overflowing with God's spirit that it automatically overcomes the soul and the body, as so that it's committed to God's spirit, so that the soul and the body is ready to receive God's correction, or is able to receive God's correction. Some people just throw their hands in the air and say, that's it. So they got saved, but that's a good way to test it. Will you receive whatever the Lord tells you to do? That's a good experiment. The apostle put to those at Corinth this question, quote, do you not know that God's Spirit dwells in you? 1 Corinthians 3:16. Are you aware that the Holy Spirit dwells in you? Or are you like the people at Sodom and Gomorrah, that you don't want that to happen? Read 1 Corinthians 3:16.
Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?
No, most people don't know that. They call themselves Christians. They don't do any experimenting with it. If the Spirit of God is in you, then God wants to do his work. And if you're not letting him do his work, then you're not the salt of the earth any longer. Okay, you've walked, you were in the light, but then you went into darkness. You went halfway up the mountain, but you failed to go all the way up. Paul, at this point, seemed to be surprised at their ignorance of such a sure fact. A sure fact. He viewed the indwelling of the Holy Spirit as a foremost consequence of salvation. If you're saved, then you are the temple of God. You are the place where the Holy Spirit dwells. So how could they not know this? How could they miss this? No matter how low a Christian's spiritual depth may be, even as low as that of those Christians at Corinth, because many probably do not rise higher than that, than those at Corinth. The Lord nevertheless must want to be clear. The Lord, through Paul, nevertheless wants to be clear on this fact, without which he shall long remain carnal for a long time and never become spiritual again. Even if you have not yet experienced this indwelling, could you not at least believe that he does abide in you? Can we refrain from worship, respect, and praise when we consider how the Holy Spirit, who actually is God himself, because God himself is there, and he happens to be three different personalities, they're one, the Father, the Son, and of course the Holy Spirit. The very life of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and of course, comes to live in us who belong to the flesh. We belong to the flesh. Then all of a sudden, we don't want to belong to the flesh anymore. We want to be supernatural. We want to be spiritual. We want to have the Lord as the light of our life living in us so that he, through us, can be a light to those that know us or come in contact with us. What power for the Holy Spirit to dwell in the likeness of sinful flesh? Just as the Lord Jesus once took upon himself the same likeness. Now there's a way to strengthen your spirit by the Holy Spirit. It's called the strengthening of the Holy Spirit. Well, I have the Holy Spirit in me. Well, you also need the strengthening of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Because even Jesus needed to have the strengthening of the Holy Spirit. He was baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then he was strengthened by angels, wasn't he? Before the undertaking of his crucifixion. In order for man's innermost organ, which is the spirit, your spirit, you got a body that's valueless unless it's led by the Spirit of God. And then you have the soul. And then the organ, which is in the midst of your body, is your spirit. To gain dominion over the soul and the body. And therefore serve as a channel for the life of the Holy Spirit, or God, to be transmitted to others through you. There must be God's strengthening in your spirit, which is actually your core. You know, like some people I say are rotten to the core. God said that. He said there's some people that are never going to be saved. He says, straight is the way, narrow is the gate that leads to eternal life, and very few, shall enter the kingdom of God. There's a bunch of smart alecks that just think that because they're living in a church, and they think that they're spiritual, that they're going to heaven. Well, my observation was that Susie was stronger than all of them, that anyone in this church, but not stronger than me, okay? Mm-hmm. Because the Lord told Sue, I'm strong. When I say sometimes this person is rotten to the core, to their core, it means they are rotten through and through, right down into their spirit, their core. And there's no way for the Holy Spirit to dwell in them. Therefore, there is no way that God can live in there to be able to transmit to others himself. But to those who are not rotten to the core, there must be God's strengthening in your core, your spirit. And if you're not strengthened, Jesus needed that strengthening. They ministered unto him, these angels, and strengthened him in the spirit with God's spirit. Remember, Jesus was a man. Amen?
Amen?
And he needed the strengthening of the Holy Spirit in order to cause him to be able to successfully go through his ministry with flying colors, so to speak, to be able to go through the torture he hated. The Bible says, the shame of the cross. And sometimes, you know, we get so high and mighty that we're just too high and mighty to carry the cross. We don't want to humble ourselves. But the Lord humbled himself and carried the cross. And your core, what about you? Your spirit, are you strengthened by the Holy Spirit? Is your spirit safe, or are you going to go halfway or one-fourth way or one-tenth way up the mountain and then be covered with darkness? There's the spirit, which is your core, your soul, and your body. The Apostle Paul prays for believers that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with might through his Holy Spirit in mere man, which is the core of you. Ephesians 3:16. I'm preaching the Bible to you folks, okay? Go ahead, read it.
That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man.
So, you know, there's times in our spiritual life that we just seem that sometimes we want to throw in the towel, and some people do. But it's better to pray to the Lord for his strengthening,
amen.
Don't you think? Amen.
Amen?
Or is it just amen?
Amen.
Or a big amen.
Amen.
All right. The Apostle Paul prays this way because he considers it intimately important. He asks God to strengthen by his Spirit their, quote, inner man, their core. In other words, their core, their spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Which is the new man in them after they have trusted in the Lord. Therefore, the prayer of the Christian is that the believer's spirit may be strengthened by God's Holy Spirit. Are you people praying for others? The Bible says to pray one for another, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, do you ever do that? Well, then you're not walking up the mountain. We need to pray that all the brothers and the sisters in the body of Christ, that they get their core, their spirit strengthened. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, because if you don't, then you're not a Christian. That's not keeping the commandments. From this, we may understand that the spirits of some Christians are weak, while those of others are strong. Whether they are potent or whether they are impotent depends upon whether or not they have received his strengthening. Have you ever felt like you want to just quit? Many people have, and many people have quit. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord won't come back, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul said, until there be a great falling away. They threw in the towel. They're lost. I thank God that God spoke to Susie before she died. She was tearing at her chest, and she was crying out, "Oh God." And then her eyes opened up and they were gawking into space, and then, like she was shocked, her mouth was wide open. Since those at Ephesus had been filled with the Spirit already, with the Holy Spirit, chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, read it yourself, we're running out of time, the apostle prayer for them must be concerned with a gift other than his, God's Spirit, living in their spirit. This prayer indicates that they must have not only the Holy Spirit indwelling them, but also have his special power in inundating their spirit so as to render their inner man strong at times of great trouble. Now, like when the government is coming against you and attempting to cause you to not go to the church of your choice, this is to make their spirit strong by God's Spirit living in them. I see my time is up, but before you can even ask God's strengthening to happen to you, you must have him enter you first. And then you pray for such things as this, and you pray for the brethren, the brothers and the sisters. So right now I'm going to ask you to humble yourself. You're not God. And if you turn God away, if you turn Christ away, who came to save your soul, there will be no mercy for you whatsoever. I'm telling you the truth from the Bible. So say this prayer to the Lord. Say, "My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my former filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open up the door of my heart, my spirit, and I invite you into my spirit, Lord. Give me a new spirit and dwell therein. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says that you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I am saved, and I praise and thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul." Now, Sharon, tell them how to receive a copy of this program, number 464. Please specify if you want a CD or an audio tape. It's absolutely free, including the postage and handling.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370. That's 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Praise the Lord. Okay, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Make sure to tune in tomorrow for another powerful message from God's Word by the Spirit. And right now we have for you by Fig Springman,
"Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, all three anointed by the Holy Spirit."
There wasn't anything. They had the power of God in them to resist all evil. Amen?
Amen.
Throw us into the fire. We're not afraid. We know the Lord will be in there with us.
There was three children from the land of Israel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they took a trip to the land of Babylon. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, he took a lot of gold and he made an idol. Shadrach. Meshach, Abednego. And he tore everybody when you hear the music of the cornet and the flute and the harp. You must fall down and worship the idols, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. For the children of Israel would not bow down, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Wouldn't fool them with a golden idol, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. I said you couldn't fool them with a golden idol, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Chilling in the fiery furnace, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. He dodged the coals and the red hot brimstone, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. 7 miles hotter, hotter than it ought to be, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Word of the soldiers what the king had put there, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. But the Lord sent an angel with snowy white wings down in the middle of the furnace, talking to the children about the power of the gospel. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Well, it couldn't even burn the hair on the head of Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Laughing and talking while the fire was a jumping round. Ho, ho, ho! Meshach, Abednego. Now, oh, Nebuchadnezzar called Hagar when he saw the power of the Lord. And they had a big time in the house of Babylon. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Ho, 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 Abednego.